Hello, and welcome to the Private Practice Made Perfect podcast. I'm Kathy Love. I started life as an OT, had an amazing, crazy private practice, which I sold. And what I do now is help allied health business owners create a business that serves them, the time, the money, the joy that they absolutely deserve. And this is where my idea for the podcast started. What I want to do is to capture how hard allied health business owners in Australia work to achieve their dreams, to support their teams, to create amazing outcomes for their clients. So sit back, beverage of choice, drive safely, walk carefully, however you're listening in, and I hope you absolutely enjoy.
Hello, Kathy Love here. How are you? Well, noticed a couple of things that I thought I would just think out loud with you and join you as your thinking partner regarding marketing and waitlists at the moment out there in allied health business land. So as you know, we support a range of members. Their businesses are all shapes and sizes, from startups right through to stellar businesses with past the thousands. And what we've noticed through conversation with our members, but also other colleagues and contacts we've got across this big wide land of ours, is a bit of a trend that I suspect you're well aware of as allied health business owners, and you may be starting to discuss it locally in your interest groups or similar, and that's this notion that waiting lists are not all as they seem. And we are hearing much more often that waiting lists are actually dissolved or dissolving. And there'll be a handful of waitlisters on there who are actually wanting a really specific day and time. And they will just sit there and hang out for that time. So I hope that works for them. I hope that, you know, that lands. And I was just thinking about a conversation I had very, very recently with a business owner. He's got a small team, you know, was gone from 0 to 5 in 15 months, which is amazing. But in sort of going out to the wait list over the summer, because, you know, 2 new clinicians had started, the wait list of about 60 kind of turned out to be 10. And so all of a sudden there's sort of this, oh my gosh, you know, now I've got the team I've been trying to get for a year, but where have the clients gone? And I guess, yeah, I'm just curious. I wish we were in the room and you would be able to kind of speak together and share out loud what some of your observations are and maybe even what some of your theories are that are driving this. So off the top of my head, a couple of the things that we've been talking about across the coaching team here at Naker Consulting is that there are a lot more businesses, allied health businesses, entering the market. And you've probably heard me say this on a previous podcast, that in the last probably eight, nine months, we've had more phone calls, more power calls with startups than ever before. You know, nearly every year, sort of August, September, October, we get the call, you know, starting up, what do we need to know? And we sort of just say everything, but we can help you with that. But last year, across the end of last year, was notable. And as some of you will know, we've started a flying startup club that we are thoroughly, thoroughly enjoying serving those wonderful entrepreneurs. So back to where I was 2 minutes ago. What do you think some of the reasons are for these waiting lists not being all as they seem? You think you got 100, but in fact there's actually 25 sitting there good to go. So maybe, and we're just hypothesizing here, maybe related to more providers coming into the market. It may be about your clients having less funding available, whether they're paying personally from their own pocket or whether they're supported through insurance schemes or the NDIS. Could be that there's less there. It might be that there's less funds coming into plans or funds are tucked away in corners of plans that, you know, allied health business owners may not be able to quite, provide the services or the scope of services that they might have had previously. So there's less funding circulating. We're also really curious, and we sure do have our eyes and ears open and our antenna up for, this sort of reallocation of funds to foundation supports as well. We're getting some really good clues about what is happening on that front, both from our members and people we're chatting with. So it could be that money through some of the NDIS could be being, redirected to other channels, making, once again, less available in plans. And so I guess all of those factors could be coming, and there's a couple of others, but all of those factors could well be coming together into this sort of, perfect storm to compromise this wait list. And we've done a podcast, a masterclass on warming up your wait list and managing your wait list. And that's been one of our, most frequently attended and our most frequently purchased, downloaded masterclasses, because it's really, really important to take your wait list seriously, right? Because your wait list is essentially an outcome measure of your marketing work. Other outcome measures include your inquiries and conversion of inquiries to wait lists, conversion of inquiries straight into sessions, so on and so forth. So there's a whole lot of really good fun numbers about marketing, but we won't jump there just yet. So please take your wait list seriously. And we want that wait list to be happy and engaged and excited to be waiting. But it could be to ensure that your wait list stays warm and engaged. You might need to have to change your thinking and change your strategy and implement your strategy to make sure that that happens, because your waitlisters are most definitely going to be somebody else's waitlisters. And let's just kind of think that those guys on your waitlist are probably on 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 other waitlists around town as well. They might even be getting services elsewhere, or even via telehealth, while they might be hopefully specifically waiting for their turn to work with you and your crew. So there's some of the kind of the things that we're noticing around marketing and wait lists. The other thing that we're noticing is, and I get to just put a bow on this bit about wait lists, is we're really excited when we hear from allied health business owners that they have a waitlist plan and that they're implementing it and they've got measurable results, and so that they really do know what is essentially coming through for their beautiful clinicians to be working with. Good one to be taking perhaps a little bit more seriously than you may have in previous years. Right, another observation is that with this notion of disappearing wait lists, we're seeing that allied health business owners that have been developing and implementing marketing strategies for quite some time are doing a really, really good job. Like, we are thrilled to bits to see some of the content that's coming out on social media, the content that's going out on LinkedIn. We're seeing blogs, we're seeing podcasts, we're seeing really, really, really impressive, high value, high friendly, high professional, really, really helpful, awesome, top shelf content going out on social media. We also happen to know that there's other content going out in newsletters and in blogs and other less tangible, less visible channels as well. Kudos to them, because it takes a fair bit of time and it usually needs a bit of extra professional support to really understand what an effective marketing plan looks like, and then to be able to implement it and measure its effectiveness. Gold star material. So kudos for those business owners who invested, 6, 12, 18, 24 months ago on a really smooth, effective marketing strategy that they know works. throw into their paid advertising, throw into their partnership sponsorships, throw into their a real investment in Google reviews and a few other kind of elements to that marketing plan. And whew, this brings the sleep at night factor, doesn't it? Knowing that you've got a steady stream of inquiries and that those inquiries are your ideal clients. So what this gets us realizing is that if you're a business that has been relying on word of mouth and only word of mouth for the last however long, that could be an increasing cause for concern. You are the only ones that will know that, and we've all got a different appetite for risk. But for you to ensure that you get a steady and ongoing supply of your ideal clients, you've got to be thinking way more than word of mouth nowadays, way more than word of mouth. The other tricky thing about word of mouth is that it is sometimes heavily weighted to the founding director, which could well be you. And many of you, the last thing that you maybe want in your businesses is to be the one that referrers request, okay? So that is a different strategy to shift referrals from you, the founding director, to referrals to the whole business. Probably another whole podcast on there. So please have a think about your dependency on word of mouth. And I guess that means you kind of need to know where your referrers are coming from. So I'm curious, how are you collecting this information? How are you organizing your referral sources? How are you capturing that? How are you even maybe categorizing the referral sources? And how are you thinking about working in partnership with referrers? Because I just think it really can't be a one-way street. So let's think about organizing referrers first up. How are you capturing, with all of the new inquiries coming in, how are you capturing a sense of how the person on the end of the phone submitting the web form, how did they find out about you? So who has referred them? Where did they find out about you? And this clues you into the channels that are working the best. And that can mean a couple of things. It means you can put more heat under those more effective and efficient referrer channels, or it means that you can maybe dial up some of the other channels so that you've got a more even spread of source of clients. And I think this is this idea of categorizing your referrers a little bit more and really understanding who your referrers are. So let's think of being the awesome humans that love and trust your business and readily refer, or perhaps should even be referring a bit more often. So we'll kind of just elegantly put to the side, you know, Google and Facebook and Insta and all of those places, and just focus on the people, which is what we really, really do very well. So thinking about all your referrers, let's go even further upstream. How many inquiries do you get every week? How many of them go to a wait list? How many of them progress straight into sessions? These are some sort of gateway metrics that we really encourage you to get. And then those people coming in, how do they hear from you? That is most definitely an intake question. But then looking at all of those referrers, are they coming from medical domains, education? Are they coming from other government departments? They're coming from case managers, support coordinators, other allied health professionals. Because I think it's really good to understand that, because it gives you a clue, once, as I said, about where you might have to put some extra energy. And you probably want that broader distribution. I remember working with an allied health business owner, and one day the doctor who referred to her practice had to literally overnight retire, and her referral of clients, the tap just turned off. And that was quite a steep learning to realize that all of her referral eggs were in one basket. And that has since changed. So you've got risk sitting there with too few referrers, and you've got risk sitting there with a really narrow kind of referral pipeline as well. So take a look, take some measures, have a look at where there's opportunity, where there's risk, and what you think you might need to do about that. What we do know about referrers is they're not all equal. They all refer in different ways for different reasons at different times. And it might help you to think this through. So who are your gold referrers? They know you, they know your ideal clients, they refer in a really steady way, they're great to partner with, they're responsive and interactive, and it really has a little bit more of a sense of some shared service and shared care. So these gold medal referrers really are your raving fans, and it's effortless working with these guys. Let's think about the silver referrers. They sometimes refer. They sort of understand the work you do, and they sort of nail the ideal client, but there's probably a little bit more variety in there. But they may be a little bit inconsistent with communications and contact and starting and stopping referrers. They might just be a little bit trickier to work with. And then there are the bronze referrers, and they just rarely refer, one out of the blue every so often, not always your ideal work. And they can be a little harder to work with, whether it's communication or working together on the same page. I don't know. You'll have some criteria around that. And I think by kind of categorizing the referrers and who they are and how good they are to work with and the clients, referrers that come through, I think that helps you understand and nuance your strategic approach with each of these groups. Because, as I've sort of been explaining, you want more than the gold class referrers. Yeah, you want a bunch of them, and it'd be great if that's all you had, but you've got silver sitting there, right? And they sort of know you, they know of you. And so it gets you thinking, well, what's it going to take to shift those silver referrers up to gold? What's it going to take to get those bronze guys into silver? They might even jump to gold. There might even be some referrers that you might just need to say, we're done. No, thank you. No, thank you as well. But hoping that people continue to refer and hoping that word of mouth is the way to go is definitely a bit of a ticket to some complacency and maybe even a little bit of stress and disappointment. The concept of referrers came up in our monthly group coaching actually just this morning, and we were discussing how when we refer anybody personally to somebody else, whether it's the coach or a gym or a cleaner or a hairdresser or a bookstore or whatever, that referral, that recommendation actually reflects on us personally, and that our reputation, maybe our ego, is sort of on the line a little bit as well. And I think that's worth thinking about in terms of what does it mean for the person who's referring to your business? What does it mean for them? How does it make them look and feel in front of the client or patient? Oh, don't like that word, the person that they're referring to your business. And I think that is worth thinking about, because it might just change the way that you message things. It might change the way that you thank them. It might change the nature of the documentation or the supports that you can provide to them or the projects you can work on together to really secure that, and, you know, to solve some of the concerns or problems that they might have that you totally understand or have some solutions about as well. I hope all of that sort of makes sense. But let's just check in on some good general principles of working with your referrers. Always acknowledge the referral. Always say thank you. It can be a card, it can be an email, it can be a whatever it is. But they've gone to the effort of thinking of you and wanting the best and wanting for their clients, for the people they know, to have a really good experience, and they thought of you. So I think thank yous, big fan of thank yous.
All right, folks, let's break up this riveting combo and let me share something really special with you. At Naker Consulting, you can unlock the treasures to allied health business success with our engaging online masterclasses. Immerse into practical strategies and inspiring success stories from fellow live attendees. From NDIS support to dream team recruitment, service delivery enhancement to boosting profitability, our masterclasses cover all the essentials for running a thriving allied health business. They are fun and practical. Plus, it's a great place to mingle with other allied health business owners just like you. Visit our website at naker.com.au to find out more about our next online masterclass. Plus, you can purchase some of our previous Hot Topic masterclasses. Now, let's dive back into the real action. Stay tuned and check out our show notes for all the great links.
A lot of referrers are really keen for news. And, you know, they may not be getting the updates about the NDIS. They may not be getting the updates about funding systems. They may not be getting the updates across different nooks of the industries that you guys as business owners just live and breathe. So that information for them is going to be, could well be helpful. So have a think about those topics that you know about in abundance that could really kind of lighten a bit of cognitive load for your referrers. We spoke this morning about gifts and donations and things. You can make your own ethical call on what you're comfortable with on that front. Similarly, find your comfort edge in terms of how you might communicate with referrers on a regular basis. So I'm thinking newsletters, things like that, that's really succinct, dot points, and that equally applies to any of the professional allied health communications that you have with them as well. Like everybody, like you, if it means that you've got to turn the page over to get the real nuts and bolts of the communication, you're asking a lot. So to think about how to maybe sharpen some of the communications that you have, that executive summary, those dot points, so that information about the services you're providing to the person they referred is grab and go and literally sitting on the file as well. So it's about making everybody's professional lives just that little bit easier, isn't it? I'm sure you're all over these things, but boy, oh boy, in the busyness of business, it can be pretty easy to just miss a few thank yous or think you'll do them on the holidays or at Christmas, end of year, and then you just continue to forget. And then it can just feel a little too late. So I think, you know us, we love a good system, but some of this stuff can be really nicely systemized. It could be an end of month, end of quarter kind of piece to it as well. Right, so we need to get specific. We've kind of thought about our referrers. We've thought about where they're coming from, where the energy needs to go. We're focused on the people side of referrers, and we're sort of thinking gold, silver, bronze. And that gets us thinking, so what is it about those gold medal referrers that we might need to do? They're raving fans. They probably want to know more about you. They probably want to be on the in with the team and the training and what your business is up to. These guys could well benefit from personal messages from you, the business owner, because that's probably how they heard about you years ago, right? They might want some extra news. They might want updates and profiles of the team. They're going to love client progress snapshots. They may be up for more collaboration than perhaps your first thought. So that might need that personal touch to preserve the ongoing, oh my gosh, you know, that the owner of, you know, that therapy company down the road is amazing. Caught up with her a couple of weeks ago, heard all about blah, blah, blah. So it could be that it needs to be a little bit more personal. Build those memories. Thinking about those silver medal referrers, they don't know you so well, right? They're running on a bit of hearsay. They may well want to know a little bit more about you because they want to know that you're the best, safest pair of therapy hands that they can refer the people that they know to. So here you might be looking to message your point of difference a little bit more. Here you might be wanting to message the way you work and the style of your services and what makes you a little bit different and the likely outcomes that you may get with the people that they refer as well. So this one is about building trust. They just don't know you well enough yet. They want to know also more about your team. And so how can you be providing that in good bite-sized chunks of information? Because if we think about those silver guys, what's it going to take for them to shift to gold, okay, and into that raving fan department as well? Bronze referrers, you might have to go back to basics here and meet and greet or send one of your wonderful teammates out to do this work because they just don't know you well enough. They don't just trust you enough just yet. It could be that they're just desperate to kind of find out a little bit more, but they are going to need good general marketing, good general information. You've got to build trust and memories with them. And so maybe little and often and light touch emails. They might need to know about the business story, your business owner story. They might want to know about team details. They might want to know a bit more about your value proposition, but they probably want to know about who are your ideal clients. And if they get that sense that you're a great place to refer to, they know who to send. They just may not know enough about you. So I wonder if that is helpful. I wonder if that has got you thinking about what we're noticing across the industry, about gathering some metrics and really understanding and profiling the referrers that you have, whether or not you've got to diversify and broaden that out a little, you will know. And then to sort of think about how you might section out referrers and manage each group a little bit differently. Just skimming across the top here to just kind of get you thinking. The last thing that I want to say on this podcast episode is I really believe that it needs to be a two-way partnership with referrers. It can't just be, oh my gosh, we've got empty calendars, better find some referrers. It really has to be a two-way street of genuine and mutual respect and trust and interaction and value exchange. So what will you be able to do for them? Okay. And this could be training, this could be resources, this could be all sorts of different things. It's going to depend on your services, your in-house talents, but also what they want. And it might be that you might need to ask a little bit about this rather than assume that they want a 2-hour this or a 20-minute that or lunch or whatever it is. But I think it's a really kind of smart move to think about that value exchange. It doesn't have to be showy. But I think that is really kind of respectful is the way that I used to approach it as well. All righty. I meant one last thing. There's always one last thing, right, with these episodes. I mentioned about 2.5 hours ago when I started this podcast a bit about systems. And so sometimes we get the sense that business owners kind of just plunge into marketing, smarter marketing, as we like to call it. They just dive into marketing because there's a little bit of a waitlist crisis going on, or that a bunch of clients have left, or it's end of year, and so on and so forth. And so it's a little bit of smash and grab. But we love a good system, like I said. So if you're kind of really looking under the hood of your marketing strategy, please take this opportunity as you approach it with more vigor this time around to think about the systems that you can develop and deploy and leave in place behind you as you do this work so that in the future you've got reoccurring marketing activity. It could be recall of clients. It could be catch-ups with referrers. It could be newsletters. It could be value exchange. It could be lead magnets. It could be advertising, so many things. But you're leaving some systems in place so that it gets done on a regular basis, but better still, hopefully, it won't have to be you, the allied health business owner, doing it. And I guess this is, you know, you shifting up to director mode and having oversight and approval of the marketing strategy without necessarily having to do it all yourself. And so everybody listening is going to be on a different point in that adventure of shifting from clinician to CEO, as we like to call it. But please consider the message of systemizing your marketing activities so that you get repeatability. Because who wants to reinvent the wheel six months later? And I think then we get to see a little bit more of a return on your investment, because you've got reoccurring, hopefully proven, hopefully very effective marketing activities humming along beautifully in the background while you get on and do some other things. All righty. Wonder what you think. Drop us a line. Get on the phone. If you haven't booked that power call yet and you really want to, you are welcome. Come and jump into our calendars. Hope all is well. Hope that is helpful. And maybe on the back of this, what's one marketing activity that you could be doing sooner rather than later? I'll leave it with you.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. For the show notes and other resources, our webinar replays, they're all available over on naker.com.au. And if you're loving what you're listening to, please subscribe. We don't want you to miss out on a single thing. And if you want others to get the same benefit that you've had from listening into these episodes, please share this episode and any of the others forward to any of your other allied health business colleagues. And we are totally here for you. Don't forget for a moment that you can jump on in and book that power call, and we can see how we can help you get the best of business done. Looking forward to seeing you there.